Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the variety comedy show podcast. My name is Peter.
And I'm Andreas.
We are your two incredibly hilarious and not smelliest hosts for this podcast. We both shower regularly. And welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the show where we have the show where we have no reason to be giving anyone advice or sharing personal stories with any kind of meaning, but you're listening to us do exactly that. How you doing, Andreas? Happy Thursday.
Hey, thanks, Peter.
I just doxed our recording days.
I know, you've shattered the illusion.
It's not like it was secret knowledge anyway. Yeah, welcome to episode 3, everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy that we've already done 3 episodes. The first 2 were received very well by you guys, which is so exciting for us. And it means that we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, it means we're doing something right.
Yeah, that's true. I do like in the intro where I, for some reason, I had in my mind that we were going to have like fairly normal descriptive adjectives every time you described us. And episode 3, right off the bat, not the smelliest hosts.
I mean, you know, I have to keep it spice. I have to keep people on their toes. We can't be the most handsome, sexy, attractive people every time. You know, sometimes we're just not smelly.
Yeah, I'm not smelly.
There you go.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. I have my smelly days. But, you know, if you had to bet on it,
yeah,
bet on not smelling.
Agreed.
We do want to address a bit of confusion. We do not release episodes on Wednesdays.
I think let's put it this way. So our release schedule as it stands is bi-weekly on Fridays. Should be no later than midday on Friday.
Yeah, because we wanted to start off the show with a bang, we released back-to-back episodes close to Wednesdays just to try and spur some listeners in early. But now get used to just expecting it every other Friday.
Every other week starting today.
Yeah, starting this episode. So this episode's coming out on April 2nd. That means episode 4 won't be coming out till April 16th. So don't get your hopes up unless there's a ridiculously special reason that we should be doing an episode.
No, get your hopes up. Re-listen to every episode every week.
Yeah, there you go. Eventually we'll get there. Once we hit episode 24, that means somebody could realistically listen to us talk about dumb things for a full day. Like full 24-hour period.
That would be
give
awful.
Or take. I mean, I already do it in my own brain anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to hear you talk for 24 hours.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. So, Andreas, you have a story of the week.
Yeah.
This week. Care to share?
This is more of a rant of the week, but it was inspired by something that happened to me today. So at work, we have like a pretty modern, pretty updated office concept, and everything's like sort of newer because we built our office. Well, my company built their office 3-ish years ago. And so for the first time since I've worked there in 3 years, which is going to bring up a new mystery, but for the first time since I've worked there in 3 years, I never thought to consider really exactly how the soap dispenser works. Okay, it's a soap dispenser, right? I put my hand under it and soap comes out.
Like it's a motion sensor, yeah, type deal?
Motion sensor, and you put your hand under it and soap comes out. And I go about soaping. I don't know. But I never...
Lathering, I believe.
I guess I never thought about how that happens. I know that the soap dispenser is not connected to anything. So obviously, like, if you spend more than 1 second thinking about it, it's obviously battery powered. But today, for the first time, the soap dispenser, I put my hand under it, and instead of the little blue light when it dispenses soap, red light.
Oh, no.
And my brain just seized up. I was like, no soap. Where is soap? Man need soap, man clean hands.
Yeah.
So
what did you do?
So
why the... hold on, pause. Why are we so consistent in starting every single episode of this podcast in the bathroom?
This is at our kitchen sink, like kitchenette situation.
That clears it up a little. I really was hoping this would be another bathroom story, so we have just this track record.
No. The bathroom dispenser is one of those like industrial office wall-mounted ones, just with the pushy black square. You know what I'm talking about? It's a silver stainless steel box with a pushy black square. Okay. Anyway, so my first instinct was that the soap is out. So I look under the sink and I grab the soap and I pour soap in and I put the thing back on and so proud of myself that I've solved my own problem. I put my hand under the soap dispenser.
You're proud of yourself?
I'm soap proud of myself.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I put my hand under the soap dispenser, red light, no soap.
Oh, no.
So I pick up the soap dispenser and there is a micro USB insert on the back of the soap.
So it's not just like a replaceable, like two AA batteries.
That's what I would have thought.
To charge the soap dispenser.
Right. I would have thought too that there would have been a place for batteries. Nope. This is a rechargeable soap dispenser. It must have a lithium battery inside. So I brought the soap dispenser to my desk. And I plugged it in to my computer. And what do you know? Green light, charging.
I love the image of like all your past, like your failed attempts at getting soap out of the machine would have caught up like as soon as you plugged it in. And then like just spewed all over like your keyboard and like any papers you had. But I also really like the image of you sitting at your desk, like babysitting the soap dispenser.
Well, that actually too was a concern kind of because once it was done charging, then it was like primed, like armed already, you know, it was like ready to go. So I had to reach around the motion sensor to not get soap all over my desk.
It was like a bomb.
Yeah.
A soap bomb.
Yeah. I had to hold it very carefully and walk it back to the sink.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, never in my life did I expect. I mean, it's cool, right? All for reusability, you know, rechargeable batteries and all that. But, you know, first of all, 3 years, that's either really good that it lasts that long or you just got unlucky that somebody forgot to charge it. But who regularly charges that?
It's got to be my other coworker because there's 0% chance that this thing hasn't been charged in 3 years.
Right.
So this brings me to my point, which I talk about this all the time, where there was a shift at some point in our lives, and I cannot identify when this shift was. It must be recent, but there was a shift to a point where most of our daily use devices became chargeable. You know, my watch is chargeable.
I'm going to tell you when precisely that shift was.
My headphones are charged. I have to charge my headphones and my watch and everything. My soap now. I have to charge myself.
That shift came about with the accessibility of cell phones. People had to carry around one thing that they could recharge and used every single day of their lives, people saw the opportunity to make everything that way. It's cell phones or Nintendo handheld consoles. Take your poison. I'm just saying they are right around the same period of time that the Game Boy Advance and the Motorola. That's when everything started to be chargeable.
The Game Boy Advance 100% had batteries.
What's that?
The Game Boy Advance 100% had batteries. Double A's.
Well, the SP then. The Game Boy Advance SP with like the flippable LCD screen.
Okay.
That was chargeable. And that was like 2006, maybe. Maybe earlier. Maybe 2004. I don't know. The point stands. Early 2000s is when everything became chargeable. Cell phones, headphones, not really, but you know what I mean. Soap.
Do you remember when rechargeable batteries were first sort of a thing?
Yeah.
But they weren't very efficient, but everyone thought they were really cool. And you had the thing that was like the pack plugged into the receptacle, and then you stuck the four batteries in the little pack. And
I still have one.
Close the clear shield.
I use it. Well, I wouldn't say I use it regularly because everything is charged, you know, via USB nowadays and yeah. just has the battery built in. But I still have a couple for like my Xbox controller because for some reason Xbox refuses to make it a rechargeable thing.
The Pro controller? The Xbox One?
No, just the standard like Xbox One controller is still like if you plug it into your console, it'll operate. But it's not like a rechargeable battery.
Oh my gosh. The DualShock recharges.
Yes. Exactly. What the hell, man?
The Nintendo Switch is the coolest one because the Joy-Con yes. is just charged by being on the thing.
Yeah. I don't know what Microsoft is thinking. Speaking of Microsoft, did you see their bid to buy Discord?
Oh my gosh, what?
This happened in like the last week. There are a few companies out there that are bidding to buy Discord.
Is Skype's not working out for them or what?
I guess not, man. So right now, the two highest bidders, as you could probably guess, are Microsoft and Amazon.
Oh, I should have guessed before you said it.
Yeah. Currently, Microsoft is offering $10 billion, with a B, $10 billion
what?
For Discord. Yes. Amazon has not said what they're offering, but I am more than confident they can beat $10 billion. But that's the thing. Discord is number one in voice over IP software. And it's an absurd amount of money, especially with the pandemic. So many schools and teachers and businesses needed a solution for, you know, communication. And Discord adapted. They said, we're moving away from being just, you know, kind of a gaming voiceover or communication software to just being a general communication software. So they offered free education plans where you could have, you know, X number of people in a call and also use screen share and all these other things because the pandemic kind of required them to do so. And they adapted the fastest.
Yeah.
So now Microsoft and Amazon are like, we'll buy you for billions and billions of dollars.
So I feel less shocked now that I've seen how much Skype was purchased for.
How much?
In 2011, Microsoft bought Skype for $8.5 billion.
Yeah.
And I feel like Discord is much more of a deal than Skype.
That's what I'm saying. I think
adjusting for the times and stuff.
$10 billion might be the starting wager, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Sure it'll either be a bidding war that will go to the highest bidder, or Discord will be like, all right, cool. Now we know how much our company's worth. Fuck you. We're going public. Which would be the biggest, like, big dick move in tech history of, like, the last 2 years.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but that would be so awesome.
Are you referencing when Twitter went public?
Yes.
Okay. Was that only 2 years ago? I feel like it was more.
Maybe it's a little more. But you know what I mean? Like, big move.
Yeah. What's funny to me about this situation of Amazon and Microsoft always trying to buy up all these companies is you also have Google or ABC or whatever you want to call it, who are just like, yeah, we'll just make our own and it'll not do as well.
It'll be subpar, but it'll be there.
Proprietary software.
Yeah.
So Microsoft owns Microsoft Team Meetings, mm-hmm. Skype.
Yep.
Zoom is its own company. Yeah.
Zoom its own. Yep. Okay. Yeah, and Teams sucks.
So they should just ditch Teams and Skype. And if they're going to do the Discord thing, do the Discord thing.
Well, and that's what I think they would do.
Sorry, Skype executives.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that still uses Skype.
Neither do I. I genuinely don't. And which shocks me with the pandemic thing, because you'd think, I mean, Skype was so popular that the word Skype became a word to mean video calling.
Yeah, but then Apple did FaceTime, and now they killed Skype with FaceTime.
Yeah,
and now it's just FaceTiming.
I guess.
I would say so.
I feel like Zoom's the thing now.
Well, yeah, Zoom is the thing.
Like,
now,
oh yeah, I was in a Zoom meeting, even if it's not Zoom.
Yeah, just any kind of video conference. Yeah, so that's crazy. That's something new this week.
I would love if either Discord just went public or some random sleeper company decided to buy them.
Right,
like
yeah,
Adobe or something.
They just came out of the woodwork and were like, "We'll give you $50 billion." And they're like, "Sold." Wow, talk about transitions. Sleeping. Sleeper companies and sleeping.
Oh my God, you really stretched for that one.
I did. My story of the week is really, you're going to get a kick out of this one. So my wonderful, beautiful, caring, love of my life fiance, who's going to get very mad at me for sharing this story, talks in her sleep often. And she usually falls asleep way before I do. Like she, like more often than not, she'll be laying in bed, like scrolling through TikTok or whatever. And she'll fall asleep halfway, like mid scroll. And so like after a while, I'll just hear the same sound repeated over and over again. I'm like, what the hell? And she's asleep, just totally unconscious. But then she talks in her sleep. And Andreas, I've been keeping a list for months now.
Oh my gosh, you might not make it to episode 4.
I might not. So if I don't, remember me fondly. I believe that you can carry this as a one-man show. So I'm going to read a few of these phrases from this list I've been keeping. Number one, this is the first instance that almost made me laugh out loud when I was laying next to her.
So this is chronological, not like...
This is chronological.
Okay, great.
The first thing that I wrote down was, why do they square root like that? Now, mind you, most of these are going to have absolutely no context for why she said the things that she did or what even the hell she's talking about. But it's incredible. The next one, this scared the shit out of me. Because she's a pretty active sleeper too. So when this happened, she physically rolled over and like her hand was slapped onto my chest. And she was like, baby, what was your ex's name, Ella? And I was like, no, why? And she said, she was just at the back door of the shop. Elton's shop.
What?
So I like to imagine in this dream that she was having that we were in a store that Elton John owned. And she's like, Ella's at the back door. I don't know an Ella.
Wow, this one has so many layers because
they get worse.
No,
okay, they get worse
because you, okay, so somehow in her mind you have this connection to Ella, possibly your ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
But this is a familiar person and she's at the back door, very specific, of Elton's shop. This is like, I mean, I feel like that's the beginning of a chapter in To Kill a Mockingbird or something. Like, chapter 4, Ella was at the back door of Elton's shop.
I love it. It's like, yeah, I could see it. Whew, this is a great one. This is another scenario where she turns over and hits me, to my surprise, obviously. So she turned over and said, baby, the melon. So, as one does, because I thought she was awake, I just question and I say, the melon? So then she rolls back over and she says, already gone. Gone away. In China, there's a melon.
Oh my God, what? Wait. I have to dissect these as we go here.
Yeah, no, please do.
I love the poetic verse of the melon, already gone.
Gone away. Yeah.
Gone away.
It's beautiful.
In China.
The next one is, I write the context for these of like how it started. This one just is there, where she says, let's make them biodegradable. If you do it, it's easy. Like, I think, and then there was this long pause after I think. And so I ask, what do you think? She responds, I have a theory about, did you know? I was like, no, what? Like, I was invested at this point. And she responded, my theory, smashy. It's biodegradable screwdrivers. You put them in the ground and they grow into the plant they're made of. I'd have cucumber, probably. Cucumbers have the best resolution.
Oh my God. Wait, okay. I need that last monologue one more time.
Yeah, one more time. My theory, smashy. It's a biodegradable screwdriver. You put them in the ground after you're done with them, and they grow into the plant that they're made of. She said she would have cucumber, probably. because cucumbers have the best resolution.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I don't know what Smashy is. I think that's
the name.
The name of the biodegradable screwdriver.
That's the name of the biodegradable screwdriver. It's like, oh yeah, let me grab my Smashy.
The other thing I really like is the fact that cucumbers have the best resolution. Like,
I don't know what that means.
I have no
idea. Like, resolution, like looking at it? Resolution as in they grow the fastest?
I don't know. I imagine that it's something that you take into consideration when you're selecting a vegetable to make this biodegradable thing out of, I guess.
Yeah.
It has the best
resolution. I mean, I would like to have a high-def cucumber screwdriver. I mean, personally, I'd probably go with more like, what's my favorite vegetable? I don't know. I would go with like zucchini. I mean, similar.
Okay.
But I feel like it would taste better, you know?
Favorite vegetable. I feel like there's an argument to be made for the carrots and celery that you get when you eat hot wings.
True. Very true.
Those are better than normal carrots and normal celery. Also,
for whatever reason, right?
Hot take. Baby carrots, much better than normal sized carrots.
Hotter take. Baby carrots are just cut up normal sized carrots.
But they're better.
Sure.
No, they are.
Okay.
No, they are. No. Okay. They should rename baby carrots to just being carrots, and then big carrots should be...
But then they wouldn't...
What?
I promise you, they would not be as appealing if they weren't called baby carrots.
No, no, no. They're going to be called carrots, and then normal carrots are going to be called big atrocious carrots.
That's not marketable. Anyway, we have two more on this list. This one is my personal favorite. I'm going to paint you the scene here. It's probably 2:30 in the morning. I wake up for whatever reason. And I hear her say, I do think there are a lot of bears in there. This had me scared. I thought there were bears in the closet, bears in the dresser.
Okay, bears I can in my see how car. You, coming from a place of logic and thoughtful wakefulness, your first idea wasn't my girlfriend is having a dream. It was, are there bears in my closet?
Right. So I ask, how many bears? She responds, in the corn trap. And I say, oh yeah, in the corn trap. Where is the corn trap? So she says, and this is the last thing she said before, you know, she went back to just complete snoring. There's got to be like many of the bears. This is like, that is so ominous that not only are there many of these bears, but they are trapped. And I do not want to mess with a trapped bear at 2:30 in the morning.
No, definitely not. I would love to see this fantasy world that she goes to when she falls asleep.
She like, and she has this like really like she dreams so vividly. Because I feel like I can tell her about a dream I had like 2-3 times a year. She can tell me about a dream she had like almost every single day. Like her brain is just so active at night. And I wish I could experience her dreamland because it sounds like a crazy place to be.
You guys should do one of those sleep labs sometime and get her all hooked up to an EKG and then just watch.
It would be fascinating.
That's insane.
But I'd also be scared that she would roll over and slap the shit out of a like the EKG machine, you know, just ow.
Babe.
Yep. Every single time. The final one.
Yeah.
This is the most recent one. This happened just a few, maybe a couple weeks ago now. And this actually just had me laughing, like full belly laugh. She didn't wake up. And this was at, like, once again, 2:30 in the morning, where she just said, full, like, not even in her sleepy, like, oh, so sleepy, talking, like, just full on, she said, I want a syringe sandwich.
Oh, I hate that.
I was so caught off guard. Because usually I can tell when she's sleep talking. This was like she was talking normally and it scared the hell out of me. I was like, what do you mean? And she never responded.
Oh my
so I was
God.
Like, oh, she's asleep.
It's for the bears.
It's for the bears.
You just need a syringe.
The
sandwich.
Bears are in the corn trap seeking this Chinese melon, but instead got a syringe sandwich in Elton's shop.
So
that's got to be it.
When you were telling these stories, I pictured you just laying awake reading a book or something, but mm-hmm. you were asleep for most of these, I assume.
Well, like I kind of said, it's either like she falls asleep before I do, and it's in that first like hour that she sleep talks before I fall asleep, or I wake up because I've been slapped. And she says these things to me, and I'm like, I have to write this down.
So do you keep that little book on the table next to you?
It's just in my phone, yeah.
Okay, your phone.
But yeah, so that's my amazing, beautiful, smart fiance and her sleep-talking habits.
Well, Peter, it's been a pleasure having you on this podcast. And
yeah, it's been an honor starting this with you. I'm going to will you my audio equipment because I'm not going to be alive following
the release of this podcast.
April the 2nd.
Yeah. Do you ever have, I mean, I know you just said that you don't really remember your dreams a whole lot, but have you ever had a recurring dream? Or also what happens to me sometimes is I'll have a dream and then a month later I'll like pick up in the same dream.
Mm-hmm.
But there's new plot.
I know you asked this because you know this story. And I've
told
this
story. Oh, are we getting
story.
Into this right now?
We're getting. This is the doozy. This is the mother of all reoccurring dreams.
All right. Forget about armchair experts. We're doing this. This is great.
Yeah. We're skipping armchair experts this week because this is the big mama of reoccurring dreams. This is going to require a lot. So if you are listening and you need a drink and not like just not just hydrate. I'm saying like grab a beer, grab a glass of whiskey. This is going to send you on one. Grab a snack. Get
find
up and
chair.
Stretch. Yeah, or find a chair. You might want to sit down for this one.
Comfy chair. If you're driving.
If you're driving, stop. Pause the episode.
No,
I know I'm hyping this up.
Don't do that. Keep listening. Always listen.
Yeah, just pick it up. So I've had a reoccurring dream. This is like the only one I can consistently remember because this dream haunts me. And I have dubbed it the Soy Wolf series. Back when I was maybe 6 years old, I had a nightmare. I was sitting around the campfire with my closest friends from kindergarten, first grade, whatever, 6 years old. This campfire was in my bedroom on a rug. Physics don't apply in this dimension. And it was a foggy night in the bedroom and the house. Very eerie. And we were telling stories around this campfire.
So like the fog
suddenly,
was in the house?
Yes. It was a foggy, spooky night, but contained within the house.
Okay. Gotcha.
There was a full moon in the house. Just, I want you to know that this all took place in a house, but as if the house experienced outside weather.
Okay.
Crazy. Like I said, physics don't apply in this dream realm. So we were telling stories around this campfire, and suddenly, I don't know who was telling this story, we were interrupted by this howl, this soul-wrenching howl from across the house. Close enough to know you're in danger, but far enough away to not know exactly where it's coming from. So as the adventurous and brave six-year-olds that we were, we each took a torch that we conveniently had and started down the hallway. So to give you an idea, my bedroom growing up was at the end of this long hallway that had a few rooms stemming off of it before we got to a staircase. And so we went down this hallway with these torches, just, you know, peering into the rooms or like around these corners. And then we reach the intersection at the top of the staircase, which either one direction leads to my parents' room, one direction leads to my mom's office, and the third is the third hallway we came down. So we reach this intersection and we hear this really heavy breathing coming from my mom's office, just like really creepy, wolfy breathing, bestial, we'll say, And so I turned to my friend Connor at the time, and he looks me dead in the eyes. He said, "Have you heard of Soy Wolf?" To any six-year-old, that is the most frightening thing you can hear in a dream. One, because you don't know what the hell Soy Wolf is. Two, why soy? You hate soy as a kid.
I picture this dream in your head as animated, and it's just like flashlight light on your friend's face.
Man, if anything, I want this to be like a short, an animated short. That way I could just really immortalize this story for the rest of my life. I have it written down too.
And your friend, camera shot from below, you know, just up onto his face. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Soy Wolf?
Yep. So then I say, no. What's Soy Wolf? And the dream ends. So I woke up in a cold sweat, panicked the next morning. And I did not go into my mom's office for like 3 weeks. And then the dream subsided for a long time. I never thought about it ever again until maybe 2 or 3 years later.
Oh my gosh, that long, really?
8 or 9 years old. Yes. So when I was 8 or 9, I went to bed. And I was still living in this house at the time. This was like right before I moved. And I had the dream again, except it picked up right where I said, I don't know. I was 6 again. And with all my 6-year-old friends. Yes. And we opened the door to my mom's office. And it was a pretty big office. And there was like a huge corner desk. And underneath the desk, you know, the breathing got louder. And from underneath in the darkness of the desk were these bright yellow eyes. Just, you know, pierce through you. Bright yellow, staring at us. So we slam the door and we run downstairs to the kitchen because obviously Soy Wolf is in there and we can't let him out. My instinct was to run to the fridge and grab a bottle of soy sauce to combat this dog, this wolf.
Was this an instinct thing, or was this upon your friend
this
Connor's
was instinct.
Like no. suggestion that this is Soy Wolf, so that's how you fight him?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's that prelude of knowledge that this beast is called Soy Wolf, but also pure instinct, because I was like, I need something that I could beat it with. So a bottle of soy sauce, of course.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm alone in the house. All my friends had disappeared after we ran downstairs, and it is darker, it is foggier, and it is much spookier as I make the ascent up the staircase towards the office, soy sauce in hand. So in my head, while I was climbing these stairs, I was going through my battle strategy, right? Do I smash the bottle and try to stab the wolf?
Yeah.
Do I huck the bottle like a grenade at the wolf? Do I try to pin the wolf and just pour the soy sauce on him? I don't know.
Okay.
All three are very viable options. And so that was the end of that dream. 3 years after the initial one,
that's
as I
insane.
Get to the top of the stairs, armed, ready to fight. And once again, 2, 3, I think maybe even 4 years after this this sequel to the dream, I have the third dream. I'm like 13 years old at this point, 14 maybe, and I get this conclusion. But once again, I'm 6 again. In my 6-year-old body, in my old house at this point, because I had moved, and I'm at the top of the stairs, and I approach the door, and I open it just as I did 4 years previously.
Okay.
And I hear the breathing, I see the eyes, and I just charge. I run full tilt at these eyes under the desk.
Okay.
And I smash the bottle of soy sauce over this wolf's head. It was a werewolf. Imagine the werewolf from Harry Potter and Prisoner of Azkaban, is it? Is that where Lupin's in? Or is that Chamber of Secrets?
No, I think you got it. Azkaban, yeah.
Whatever it was. Professor Lupin werewolf. Terrifying, bony thing.
Okay.
But as I smash the soy sauce, and there's blood and soy sauce everywhere, this beast begins to melt. Like Wizard of Oz melt.
Oh my God.
And I felt like a champion. I had defeated Soy Wolf. It took me 8 years to conquer this dark side of my brain, but I'd done it, right? I felt so victorious. Like, it wasn't a nightmare at this point. The first two were nightmares. I was scared stiff when I woke up the next morning.
Right.
After this one, I woke up, I felt great.
Victorious.
I had conquered the demon.
This was a turning point in your life. Finally become a man.
Exactly. So that's when I thought it was the end of it. Because, you know, after the second dream, I was like, okay, that's kind of weird that I kind of had, like, the sequel. The third dream, I was like, wow, I had a reoccurring dream. That's sick.
Okay.
but I was like, cool, that's kind of the end of that story. I probably won't ever have it again.
Uh-huh.
Flash forward again to maybe, like, senior year of high school. I had the dream one last time. I haven't had it since. So the most recent occurrence was 6 years ago now.
Okay.
Where I had the entire dream from start to finish, from camping to slaying the beast in one night again.
What?
Yeah. So instead of it being split up into three separate dreams, when I was 18 years old, I had it from start to finish. But every single time, it flashes me back to being a little six-year-old boy in my old house where I grew up.
Yeah, it'd be way less, like, climactic if you were 18-year-old Peter, senior in high school, and you're like, hey, Wolf, I got a fight to pick with you.
Exactly. And, like, a lot of people can, you know, like, manipulate their dreams, like lucid dreaming or whatever. I can't. I'm, like, on a railroad track. Like, I have to follow these set of actions, and I can do nothing to change them.
Interesting.
And so I felt all the same fear and anticipation and everything, except all in one night. I woke up the next day and I was just so, like, bewildered. I was like, why is this? Why is this my cursed haunting? Like, what did I do in past lives to be haunted by a werewolf that is only, like, its only weakness is soy sauce? Right? I don't know. But that is my reoccurring dream. That has plagued my existence for my entire life. I'm really hoping I get, like, another one. I'm really hoping that one day either it will be a complete reliving of the dream, which would be great, or I get the 20 years later situation. So, like, in 2 years when I turn 26, I want to relive the dream except as me being 26 fighting this wolf, but in a much more imaginative way.
Like Beowulf style.
Yes. Do you know how awesome that would be? Yeah, that's Soy Wolf.
In my head canon, you're going to be like 105 years old lying on your deathbed, and the doctor's going to be like, we can inject morphine to make it easier and faster. And you're like, yes, do it. And then you fall asleep in a morphine-induced sleep, and you have the Soy Wolf dream. But this time, Soy Wolf wins. And as soon as that moment happens where he eats you, you flatline on the heart monitor, and that's the end of Peter.
I mean, if I had to pick a way to go, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely want to die in dream combat
with a wolf whose weakness is soy sauce.
Yeah, except this time, you know, when I'm 105 and I've obviously had this dream a few times where I continue to beat Soy Wolf in different ways.
Yeah.
When I'm 105 and on my deathbed, I'm finally out of soy sauce.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Have you had any reoccurring dreams?
Well, nothing so interesting as that. Mine are always boring. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I'll be working somewhere that I've never worked before, and then I'll have another dream months later, and I'll have to clock back in for my shift at the same shitty job. You know, like, nice. Nothing so cool as Soy Wolf.
Yeah. I mean, it has such a rich, like, lore behind it at this point. And I think, like, I obviously have, like, embellished it over the years, but I try to keep it as true to how I experienced it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've definitely, like, sauced it up as far as storytelling goes.
Well, that was a great retelling, and I love it.
Thank you. Did it match the retelling I did when we went camping last summer?
If I hadn't had so much alcohol when we were camping, I could probably give you a better answer to that.
Yeah. It's a hell of a dream. And this is also something I've considered because it's haunted me so long and like impactfully.
Yeah.
Is I'm debating whether I should like, I have tattoos. I feel like I haven't said that yet.
Oh my gosh.
For anybody that doesn't know.
I know where
I have
this
six
is going.
At the moment. I've debated getting some form of representation of Soy Wolf as a tattoo. I don't know what that would look like, if it would just be the words Soy Wolf. If it would be like a bottle of soy sauce that's like Soy Wolf branded.
Yeah.
Or what. But I feel like, especially if I have the dream again, I have to like immortalize it beyond just the story.
I feel like you have to have your own soy sauce startup where it's called Soy Wolf Soy Sauce, and it's got the wolf on the front. He's like, ah.
I like it. Yeah. if you're listening to this 20 years down the road and Soy Wolf Soy Sauce is a brand, you know I've made it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's sleep and dreams, man. Crazy stuff.
I've thought about this frequently because it's incredible to me the things that your mind can recall from your past life and stuff that you wouldn't otherwise ever be able to remember in conscious life. Like, I've had so many dreams where I'm in a car that my parents owned when I was a little kid that I never think about.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. Like, you have all of those memories, and it's just insane. I have a very spooky recurring dream, but it doesn't have any like substance to it. But every now and then I'll have a dream that there's an old Native American woman staring at me through the window of my house.
Is this like a sleep paralysis thing?
Maybe it is like that.
Because
I can wake up, I feel it. Like, I don't get the paralyzed part of it.
Okay. Yeah, because I was actually talking to my brother today, and he had like a weird sleep and he's had it before in the past, and,
yeah,
like sleep paralysis stuff.
I think they call that hag syndrome.
Oh, is there a name for it?
Yeah,
I always just thought it was called sleep paralysis. But he had one like just the other day, and he asked me if I had ever experienced that, and I never have. So I wonder if your haunting is a sleep paralysis demon. But you're not so much paralyzed.
Right.
Like, Thomas is, like, he cannot move, and it is just sheer terror.
I hate that.
Stuff.
Oh, I have to ask him about that, because I've always been curious about that. That is a big fear of mine.
I've never experienced it, and I never want to, because I hate the feeling of being helpless.
So Wikipedia says, the night hag, or old hag, is the name given to a supernatural creature commonly associated with the phenomenon of sleep paralysis, during which a person feels a presence of a supernatural malevolent being, which immobilizes the person as if sitting on their chest or at the foot of their bed.
Oh, weird.
Not great. The imagery associated with hag syndrome when you search it on Google is just absolutely horrifying.
Oh, God, that's creepy.
I know.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. So,
oh, my God.
Now that I'm so thoroughly freaked out.
Yeah, right. The way that Thomas has always described it, to me, and I'm sorry for anybody listening, I'm only going to show this on our Discord call, but it's shit like this.
So Peter's showing me a perfectly silhouetted creature with white eyes. That's the only part of the creature you can see, sitting on top of a person while they sleep. And it's got some like angel and demon imagery.
That's how Thomas has described it to me in the past, is just something of that nature.
So if he's comfortable with it, we should have him on next week to describe it.
I would love to do a follow-up on this. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if anyone listening has ever had sleep paralysis or experienced reoccurring dreams, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. Send us a DM on Instagram or Twitter.
There you go.
And we'll set up a time.
Yeah. Wow.
God,
not
that's
where
creepy.
I thought this podcast was going. Just for full
Neither
transparency,
I.
because I really like the to be open and honest with our audience. None of this was on the outline for today.
No, we were going to talk about the weather.
We actually were. The notes in our podcast outline say literally talking about the weather question mark.
Yeah. Comma, spring cleaning? nope. We're here to haunt your dreams. Welcome to Unlicensed Therapy. Speaking of therapy, we have a couple questions that came in. At Unlicensed Therapy Show on Instagram, at Unlicensed Show on Twitter.
We will answer any of your questions that Maybe not any of your questions. We will answer questions that we deem mostly family friendly and or non-inflammatory to the best of our ability.
Exactly. So we had one question come in from Thomas, actually, my brother. And he asked, what is the most interesting certification that you've gotten in your life? I have gotten a few. I can name three off the top of my head that I've been officially certified for. So in high school, Andreas and I were in theater, and we had to be certified to use the genie lift to like hang lights and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's one certification. I don't think that's particularly interesting. The next one I got because I worked in food service. It's just a serve safe, whatever the hell, not interesting. The most recent certification, I think the most interesting and uncommon, is I am a I'm a licensed insurance producer or an agent in depending on where you're at.
Wow.
In three different states.
Really? Which states?
Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana.
Oh, okay.
This is because of my old job. I was in the way that I describe my job is I was one part glorified travel agent, one part shitty tech support for people and their insurance. But I had to be licensed in order to answer certain questions.
Okay.
So I had to go through, I think, like 80 hours of training to get this certification. And it's good for 2 years. So I'm certified until late 2022 to sell insurance.
Okay.
What about you, Andreas? What are you certified for?
I'm certified for a bunch of stuff. I don't know if any of it's interesting, though. I'm certified for aerial platforms, so like scissor lifts and boom lifts. I'm certified for first aid and CPR. I'm certified for some equipment, heavy equipment, like forklifts. I could have a forklift. That's kind of cool.
You're forklift certified?
Forklift certified.
That'll get you a lot. That will take you far on Reddit. There's a whole market for forklift certified men out there.
Is there actually?
Yes. It's been a meme for like, maybe it's a dead meme at this point, but for a while that it was the meme of like, if you're forklift certified, you've got it made. Like, you are a desirable man.
Oh, that's pretty cool then. Wow, I feel much better about my certification.
Right?
What else? I'm certified. I took an OSHA 10 class.
Hmm.
And so I have an OSHA 10 certification, which is 10 hours of nothing but safety.
All right.
And that's the worst class I've ever taken.
God, I'm sure. The last question we're going to answer today is... if you could change one thing about your life, past or present, what would you change?
This question goes deep, man. We always have the one person that asks the deep question.
Yeah, I've answered this question a lot, so I have an answer ready to go if you don't.
Yeah, what's up?
I always answer this question the same way, but I'll answer this in two ways just for the humor of it. I try to live my life as like... I can't change the past no matter what I do, and I have to live with that. So that's okay. Mm. Like, no regrets type lifestyle. So, like, if I could change one thing about my past, what would I change? Nothing, because I wouldn't be where I am in this moment right now if I changed anything, because I've watched too many time-traveling things. But if I had the option and it wouldn't change my life significantly in any way possible, I would have never started working in insurance. That was soul-sucking. Holy crap. Never again do I ever want to get near anything of that sort, because, my God, I hated every single day of my life. It was awful. But yeah, like, I kind of subscribe to the philosophy of, like, you can't change your past, so why even think that you can? Or, like, why think about a reality in which that never happened or was different somehow?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a waste of my brain. Like, I can't change it. There's no point in thinking about it. I should just... live and learn from the choices I've made in the past to better inform my decisions in the future.
I fully agree with that. I'm also not going to change anything about my past. I think thinking of ways to change your past is kind of unfair to yourself now.
Right.
However, I do have two things that I will hopefully change about my future. So kind of goals, right? But
okay.
So the first one is getting my pilot's license, which I'm on the way toward. Fairly soon, I think.
Wait, whoa, back it up, mister. When is this a thing?
So I'm in the process of scheduling a test flight because you have to do that to even see if that's right. Something that you can handle or want to do.
Sure.
But then I'm going to go for a private pilot's license. And now that I've set it on the internet, I have to be accountable.
You have to. That's awesome. Holy crap. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. All of this is relative, of course, but it's actually less expensive to be a private pilot than I realized.
Yeah.
It's like $7,900 max.
Well, I think it also depends on where you live and how much.
I'm sure it does. And
your
also
instructor charges.
Huge, huge chunk of the cost is renting the plane to get your hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a cool like life goal thing.
No kidding. That's awesome.
This next thing is a childhood like fantasy of mine.
Okay.
So I have this thing. Really putting it all out there today.
I'm ready.
Every time I see a fire truck, I think it's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I am a 24-year-old man. Okay. And I am captivated by fire trucks.
Okay.
And I'm so sad that as a kid, I never got to like do a ride along or like go in a fire truck and like honk the horn and do the sirens and the lights. And I'm trying to work myself up to a point in my life where me, as an almost 25-year-old man, can go to the fire station and be like, take me in one.
Andreas, if and when you come visit me, I am really close friends with a firefighter, and I could definitely hook that up.
Dude.
I promise, because he's offered to do it for me many times.
You can ask my girlfriend, like, if a fire truck goes by with its lights and sirens on, I turn into a child. I'm like, oh, and I
big
watch it go by.
Big water truck go zoom.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's so cool.
They are impressive pieces of machinery. But yeah, I could definitely set something up of that nature.
Okay, great. We're doing this before I turn 30.
Before you turn, yeah, we can make it happen.
Because at that point, I would just have to be a volunteer firefighter, I think, in order to make this dream come true.
I think that'd be a fun experience.
I think it would be fun and also very difficult. I had
intensely stressful.
Oh, very stressful. I had a teacher and mentor in high school, and he was a volunteer firefighter like up in the mountains, the Colorado mountains. And he said one of the things that they had to do for their training, among many, many things, but the fire department lit a huge bonfire and they put a shipping container next to it. And you had to go into the shipping container in full gear next to this blazing bonfire and spend a certain amount of time inside to prove that you could handle the heat, literally.
Jeez. Yeah, that's... Oh, my God.
Among other similar training exercises and things that I don't know if I could ever like.
Yeah, my buddy has a lot of stories, the firefighter buddy. He has a lot of stories that he told me. I worked with him at a restaurant.
Plus, I feel like the EMT, like medical first responder side of it would be difficult for me in particular.
Yeah, no kidding.
And responding to car crashes and stuff. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, it's a lot. He had some pretty crazy stories when he was telling me them. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening this fine April the 2nd or otherwise. If you want to be heard on the podcast with your questions, tweet at us on Instagram, Twitter. Those links are affiliated with the show. Next week, though, and by next week, I mean next episode in 2 weeks, we want to hear about your problems. We want to do like an advice column situation. So tweet us, comment, however you can contact us. Tell us about a problem you have, and we'll give you the worst advice, probably. Or we might give good advice. Who knows?
It's definitely going to be questionable advice.
Yeah, we cannot tell you that it's great advice. We won't know. Anyway, we appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And Andreas, I hope you have a wonderful day.
Peter, have a wonderful day. Hit the theme song.